Anybody can be beat.
You're listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Joe Blewett and Brandon Dowling.
And you are listening to Jet Nation Radio. We are joined today by Vincent Lalaraca, one of my good friends. Brandon is on vacation right now, so I'm joined my friend Vinny. We had a very, you know, exciting weekend, Vinny. We had the Mets 2 games of 0 runs. We had the Kentucky Derby. We had some of the Rangers playoff games. We had the NBA playoff games, and then we had the quote-unquote fight of the century, which basically turned into a patty cake fight. It was really, really terrible. I got to watch it at work. And then most importantly, we had the NFL draft, and, you know, it's very surprising that a lot of people around the NFL and you know, beat writers and all this stuff are actually praising the Jets, giving them, you know, B pluses, A's, A minuses, and you have the occasional guy who hates the Jets, who's clearly a Patriots fan, who's giving us a C or something like that. But, you know, overall, we're really going to dive into it tonight. We have, obviously, we're going to talk about the picks. We have Connor Hughes joining us in a couple of minutes, hopefully in 5 to 10 minutes. He'll be on live with us. But, you know, it's a very interesting weekend. But, you know, give your initial impressions of McCagnan and the draft.
Yeah, I know. What a weekend it was if you're any kind of a sports fan. You know, like you said, you know, you have baseball. In its second month right now, you had the fight of the century, which really, you know, wasn't a great fight. Obviously,
it was terrible.
Yeah, I know. It was really bad, actually. You know, you have NBA playoffs. You have hockey going on. It's great. I mean, but, of course, everything everyone was looking forward to was the draft. And, you know, going to this draft, you know, I was really up in the air. They're going to go pass rusher. They're going to go wide receiver. What are they going to do? And, you know, I guess it was too good to be true when Leonard Williams fell in the Jets' lap. So, I mean, I really am very impressed by McCagnan and what he's done in this draft. You know, I really like the pick of Devin Smith. You know, adding a guy like Jarvis Harrison in the fifth round, you know, that's a nice pick. That's a great value pick. And a lot of undrafted free agents that I think can, you know, either make this team or be on that practice squad that can really, really contribute this season. So, I mean, I give him an A in the aspect of, as if Mo Wilkerson is still on this team come, you know, the starting of camp and he's not holding out. If McCagnan can get that under his belt, I think this is – one of the most impressive off seasons in recent history, you know?
Yeah, no, it seems like, you know, the last couple of years, whether it be a pick of Jalen Saunders or Shaq Evans or one of these guys, it was kind of like we had to sit here and try to find a way to justify it. You know, you saw guys like Martavius Bryant on the board who really made a big impact for the Steelers last year. And we take a guy in Jalen Saunders, who's cut by, you know, not even the end of the season. So the other drafts are really disappointing. I obviously know, and we both know that it's really foolish to judge a draft, you know, what, 4 days after it. You really have to see what the picks turn into, what Devin Smith turns into, what Lorenzo Maldon turns into. But as of now, you know, to have to not justify the picks, and when you see a guy, even like Calvin Pryor last year, when in my personal opinion, I like Bernard, I like Brandon Cook. They didn't really turn into too much. But I was kind of questioning the Pryor pick a little bit because it seems like our roster is just stacked with strong safeties at that point. But when you look at Leonard Williams, we're obviously going to dive into it a lot more later after Connor called us. But you look at Leonard Williams and you see that McCagnan really, you know, he stuck to his guns, the best player available. You see Leonard Williams on the board compared to a guy like Vic Beasley, who could easily be a bust. I'm not saying that he will be, but he could easily be a bust. Mm-hmm. You're a guy like Kevin White, who had 1 year of production, so you really, you know, you don't know, you're not 100% sure about Kevin White. But when you go, you know, going through the whole entire draft process, you know, you heard Leonard Williams was the number one rated prospect by most people. And both him and Amari Cooper, you know, the number one safest guys in the entire draft. So to get one of those, even though it's at a position of strength, it was a really good pick, but you know I definitely liked it. We're going to talk about the whole Mo Wilkerson thing later, and obviously create some confusion there, especially after, you know, we hear that Mo Wilkerson could possibly be traded. But were there any other surprises in the draft? You know, as far as the first couple of picks with Jameis Winston, Mariota, did you really think that the Titans were probably going to trade out of that number 2 pick?
You know, I was thinking about that, and I was anticipating a trade, whether it be an Eagle, the Browns, one of those teams trying to slunk their way up in that second pick. And I mean, it's hard to pass up on a guy like Mariota. You know, these guys don't come around too often. You know, the quarterback position, you know, obviously the quarterback position is the most important position a football team has. You know, that's why this Jets team, that's why this quarterback position the Jets have is so crucial. And they're like, that's why I don't really think it was surprising, but I thought it was very interesting when the Jets took Bryce Petty in that fourth round. You know, I thought that's a good pick right there. You know, this guy has a high ceiling. He's a veteran quarterback. I think he's 24 years old. But, I mean, regarding the first round, I think it was a surprise that the Jets landed Leo Williams. You know, I mean, this guy, like you just said, you know, this is a guy, as people had him as the number one prospect in front of every quarterback, in front of every player on this draft. So to have him fall at six, even with, you know, that wasn't our strongest need at nose tackle, this guy thinks of himself as a defensive end, as a guy who can get to the pass rush, as to the quarterback, I mean. So, I mean, I think that's a surprise in itself for the Jets and Jets fans. I think we should be very excited to have a tandem of potentially Leonard Williams, Mo Wilkerson, Sheldon Richardson, and Damon Harrison. You know, I mean, I like Maldon a lot in the third round. I think he can provide something that Quinn Coble hasn't done in his time so far with the Jets. You know, Quinn Coble's only 16 and a half sacks in his time here with the Jets. I mean, I think overall, I mean, you know, it's been not even a week yet. I think it's been a great draft for the Jets. But, I mean, as for surprises, I mean, besides Leonard Williams falling to the Jets at six, really, really has been none besides the whole case of the tackle from LSU. You know, besides that all happening, I mean, not really any other surprises. I think it's an overall very productive draft for the Jets. You know, trading back, getting some extra picks. You know, when you look back on that Brandon Marshall trade, you know, now with the Jets adding a Zach Stacy on draft day, you know, that's one hell of a job by getting Brandon Marshall and Zach Stacy for a fifth round pick. The Jets, I mean, that's something, you know, that's something you do on video games. And even if so, you can't even do that in video games anymore. They won't allow you because the trade just doesn't seem fair. So, I mean, I think when you go on Madden and you try to do all those trades, sometimes they just don't let you do it. So I mean, McKagan, you know, really coming in his first year and believing in himself, believing in his system. You know, this guy has been a draft expert in past years with the Texans, and I think he's really done a great job. And obviously, we can't judge a draft class. You know, give at least 2 or 3 years. You know, we can't even draft last year's draft class yet. You know, Calvin Pryor still a work in progress. You know, I think this year is going to be huge for Calvin Pryor. You know, adding all the pieces the Jets have done this offseason, it's been really one hell of an offseason. That's why I'm very excited for training camp.
You know, so we're having some technical difficulties with Jerry behind the line, but I believe that right now we are joined by Connor Hughes, the New York Jets beat reporter, and in my opinion, one of the best New York Jets beat reporters. So if this is Connor, how you doing?
Hey, man, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Sorry about the problems before you called in. We're having some technical difficulties, but I definitely want to dive right into it with you. So, you know, I didn't exactly want to start off with asking you about, you know, Leonard Williams or Devin Smith, but instead I wanted to ask you about some of the undrafted free agents the Jets actually picked up that actually, you know, making some noise in Jets fans right now. And the tight end, Wes Saxton, the safety, Darrell Eskridge, linebacker, Tywan Jones, and even a guy in Julian Hauser, who's a DN outside linebacker, who actually signed a 3-year contract for the Jets, and I'm honestly not too sure how that works out with guaranteed money and things like that. But could you give your opinions on some of those guys? Because some of those guys actually had, you know, 4th to 5th round grass trades.
Yeah, look, I'll be honest with you guys. I mean, this is a New York Jets team, and since Todd Bowles has been hired, he's been a guy that has focused himself on creating competition on just about every single area of this team. He wants to add competition to every single position. He wants to add competition to every single roster spot, and that's what the undrafted free agents are going to look to do. I mean, look, when you look at the team right across town in the New York Giants, that's a guy in Victor Cruz, who's established himself into one of the best slot cornerbacks in the NFL, and he was an undrafted guy. So for the New York Jets, they're out there. They're looking at guys like the tight end position, like the outside linebacker position, like the offensive line, and they're all guys that they're hoping can establish themselves into players in the NFL. And And whether they all pan out, you know, it's yet to be seen. We'll see in training camp. We'll see in OTAs, which is Friday and Saturday. We'll see across the NFL in terms of what these players establish themselves into. But we'll see. Honestly, right now, it's kind of up in the air. But this is a guy in Todd Bowles as the head coach of the Jets that is so predicated on making himself and establishing a Jets roster into one of the best, one of the best, most competitive in the NFL that – that we'll see. You know, we'll see what they turn into, but I wouldn't put it past any of them to make the roster. They're all players. Yep. They're definitely in contention to make the roster, and it's just a matter of let's see how they all turn out.
Okay, so now I wanted to get your opinion on Leonard Lewis. I know you definitely have a strong take on that. You know, we hear that he's basically virtually unblockable, and we have all heard comparisons to guys like, you know, Sue and Watt and Richard Seymour, and people are saying he has a very, very high or low floor. So, you know, what are your opinions of the Williams pick, and do you like them taking Williams over guys like Kevin White and Vic Beasley? And what do you think his role is going to be on the defense this year?
When it comes to Mike McGagan and Todd Bowles, you know, they all preached before the NFL draft that they were going to take the best player available. And I'll be honest with you, yeah. When I heard him say it, when I heard him talk about it, I wouldn't say I was questioning it, but it was in terms of where do you draw the line in terms of best player available versus best player available via that fits the need. And when Leonard Williams fell there to number six, it became evident that the best player available in the draft was going to be there in the Jets roster, and whether they were going to take him or not was going to be the question. They snagged him up, and I'm interested as anybody else to see how they're going to use him. I mean, this is a guy that can rush the passer. This is a guy that can play the run. This is a guy that can do so many different things on the Jets defensive line. And Todd Bowles is a defensive genius in terms of their head coach, and he hired Casey Rogers to coach the defense, to be the defensive coordinator, and we'll see what he ends up turning out to be. But I'm interested to see how he's going to be used. Look, this is a guy that, as I said, he can rush the passer, he can play the run. We'll see how he translates into the defensive line. But when you look at it, and you're talking about a team that anybody against the Jets is going to line up to kind of try to get a third and one, a fourth and one, and you got Sheldon Richardson, Muhammad Wilkerson, Leonard Williams, Quinton Coples, Calvin Pace on the defensive line. I mean, this is bar none one of the best defensive fronts, but it's probably the best defensive teams in the NFL, and we'll see what they turn out to be. But when it comes to Leonard Williams, I'm interested to see how they're going to use him. I'm intrigued to see how they're going to use him because I'm not terribly sure how they're going to use him. But he's a guy that can do so many different things. He's a guy that can do so much different, and I think he makes such a difference in the defensive front that I'm intrigued to see how this thing's going to turn out. I mean, look, this is a guy that was bar none the best defensive player in the draft. He was probably the best player in the NFL draft, and the Jets were able to go up there and scoop him up and snag him and draft him, and now it's how they're going to use him is the other question. But when you come to Todd Bowles, and he's a guy that is a defensive prowess, he's a defensive guy, he's a defensive-minded head coach, he's going to be the one to figure out how to use him, and I'm intrigued to see how that plans out.
Yeah, no, I like that, Connor. This is Vin here. You know, going to the offensive side of the ball, and I like how you said competition is what Coach Bowles, you know, really strives for. And adding a guy like Devin Smith to go along with guys like, obviously, Brandon Marshall Decker, you know, re-signing Crowley last year to a nice four-year deal. You know, now adding a guy like Shaq Evans, do you really think, you know, by adding now at the quarterback position with Bryce Petty that, you know, that this is really Geno Smith's last hoorah, I would say, at quarterback, you know, with adding guys like Ryan Fitzpatrick and all these guys to compete with him. I was wondering, what do you think about the quarterback position and the wide receiver position and that aspects of competing? You know, there's a lot of names out there on the receiving side that, you know, these guys have a chance to be one hell of a group, you know, and not even mentioning Jason Morrow and Jeff Cumberland. So, I mean, I would like to know what you think about the quarterback position and all these weapons that the Jets possess now.
In my opinion, the Jets offense, once they selected Devin Smith in the second round, became complete. I mean, you have a perennial number one wide receiver in Brandon Marshall on the outside. You have one of the best possession receivers in Eric Decker on the outside. You have Jeremy Curley in the slot, and then you bring in Devin Smith, who's the guy that can stretch the field and has such speed to stretch the field on as another receiver you can throw into the bunch. And this is a receiving core that now is, I don't know if it's one of the best in the league because you've got some really good wide receiving cores across the NFL, but it's a
it's a receiving core that certainly is complete in the sense of they have a guy that is a possession guy. They have a guy that's a perennial number one guy. They have a guy that is a stretch the field guy. They've got these receivers that fit every single role that you can hope for a receiving core. And then you add in Jason Morrow, and you add in Jeff Cumberland, you add in suddenly guys that complete it all around in the tight end position. And you have a situation where you have literally everything you could potentially want in a receiving option. And if Geno Smith doesn't get things going in this season and this year, I don't know if Geno Smith's going to get it done, because Geno Smith is a quarterback now that has no excuses left. He's in his third NFL season. He started his rookie year. He started his sophomore season. Now he's in year three, where quarterbacks are supposed to make that second guess. He has no excuse in terms of you know, do we have weapons? Yeah. He's got weapons. He's got Brandon Marshall. He's got Eric Decker. He's got Jeremy Furley. He's got Devin Smith. He's got Jeff Cumberland. He's got you know, the Jason Morrow in there at tight end. He's got everything he potentially want. And now the question is he going to take the next step? And I don't know. And we'll certainly see if he's going to take that next step. But he's out of excuses. I mean, that's the end result. There's no more. He doesn't have any weapons. There's no more. He doesn't have the experience. He's got the experience going into year three. He's got the weapons in terms of what the Jets have drafted and what the Jets have signed and what the Jets have traded for. And now it's just a matter of his Geno Smith.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a great answer, because with all the weapons he has, and on top of that, you know, you mentioned the receivers, and you know, people are starting to forget about the running game, which was ranked, I believe, third in the league last year. And then I know they didn't add a whole bunch of talent to the offensive line, but they still got at least slightly better at the offensive line. And I was going to ask you know, about the Devin Smith pick and if you liked him over receivers like Green Beckham and Jalen Sean, but you kind of answered that already by saying they have all the assets of, you know, a possession receiver and a speed receiver. So instead, you know, I definitely want to get your opinion on Lorenzo Maldon. Before the Jets traded their pick to the Texans, I was staring Eli Harrell down. So I really wanted him, and I actually wouldn't even mind them taking Eli Harrell in the second round. So, you know, what are the differences or the drop-offs between Harrell and or Maldon? Do you think that it was worth it to trade down 12 spots to the Texans and take a guy like Maldon?
Yeah, you know, when you look at the Jets and the situation of where they were trading down, it's an interesting situation, because it is a general manager's idea of who he wants in that position. He grades who he thinks is worthy of that pick. He grades who he thinks is going to be deserving of that pick. And then he grades of who he thinks he can get by trading down. Now, the Jets traded down with that pick. They got Lorenzo Maldon, and this is a guy that maybe isn't necessarily polished in terms of, he's not like a Vic Beasley, or he's not a player that has gone out there and got 20, 15, 10 sacks, something like that in the season. He's a guy that's gone out there last season. He had 6.5 sacks, something around those lines, and we'll see what he ends up turning into in the NFL. But look, at the end of the day, this is a guy that the Jets wanted. The Jets wanted to go out there and get. He's a guy that McCagden liked. He's a guy that Bowles liked. And at the end of the day, these are guys that certainly have watched more football than me or any other reporter in the NFL. I mean, if they fall in love with a guy and they like a guy enough to take him in the third round, you got to believe that they're a guy that can go out there and select him, and a guy that's worthy of that third round selection. Now, granted, this is a Jets pick that went out there. They traded down to get him. They saw him there. They wanted him early on in the third round. They saw him there when they were picking later in the third round, and they ended up selecting him. Now, we'll see if it's end up worthing it. It's a guy that ran a 4.8, 4.40, something around those lines, and he's not necessarily as fastest, but look, this is a guy that's been in and out of 16 different foster homes growing up. He's a guy that has just had one of the most interesting growing up experiences of anybody else. He's the guy that wants it more than anybody else, and he's driven it. And he's a guy that fans are going to get behind. He's a guy that people are going to root for, and we'll see what he turns out to be and if he develops into something that is a pass rusher or anything like that. But from my understanding is that the Jets want to believe that IK is the guy that is going to turn out to something. They have Jason Babin. They have Calvin Pace. They do have a guy in Quentin Coples, who's another guy that they're hoping takes some of the steps in terms of the pass rusher. And then you add in and a guy like Lorenzo, and you're hoping that they now have a heart and a beat to something that is the pass rushing combo that can get. Look, they didn't land a Vic Beasley. They didn't land a Dante Fowler, but Lorenzo is a guy that's certainly interesting, and he's an intriguing prospect for the Jets here in the third round. And I'm interested to see how he turns out. Look, you know, he's not a guy that I study too much film on. He's not a guy that I had on my radar, if you will, in terms of guys that are out there. But again, the Jets studied the film. The Jets believed in him, and the Jets are a team that believes that they got that
the Jets are a team that believe they got quite the player there in the third round.
Yeah, you know, and I want to head over to back to the offense. You know, the receivers, tight ends look pretty nice. And something I was looking throughout the draft was maybe the Jets were going to go for a change of pace running back. You know, last year, Chris Johnson was supposed to be that guy. Never really panned out too well. You know, they signed a Stephen Ridley, who I believe has something like 14 career catches out of the backfield, you know. And then, you know, signing Bill Belton, you know, a guy who has doesn't have that much wear on his tires, so to say, out of Penn State. But I wanted to get your thoughts on Bilal Powell. You know, is this the year that, he gets an expanded role, maybe in third down passes, maybe a little more screen passes this year, you know, because not something, you know, Geno Smith really liked to use in his first 2 years was that little dump off pass, you know, when things got tough. So I was thinking, you know, is this the year Bilal Powell really steps up?
We'll certainly see. I mean, he's going to be given the opportunity. I mean, they have Chris Ivory's essentially established there as the number one running back there for the New York Jets, and then you have Stephen Ridley coming in there at second, and then number three is where the question mark. You know, Daryl Richardson will be in there. They're competing. There will be Bilal Powell in there competing, and my assumption would be is Bilal Powell gets that goal. I mean, this is a guy that can block. This is a guy that can catch out of the backfield. This is a guy that has established himself as a running back that can play in the NFL. You know, he's not a guy that is out there that is unable to play or a guy that struggles in any regard. I mean, he can run. He's averages, I think it's like 4.0 yards per carry in terms of the last 2 years. I think he averaged 4.3, which was his career high. And this is a guy that has proven he can play. Now, who is going to be the number two behind Chris Ivory is the big question. There is Bilal Powell. There is Stephen Ridley. We'll see what ends up coming of that. But, you know, this will be Bilal Powell's year to see what he can do. And I'm interested to see it. I think he's going to step up. If I were to sit there and pick the 1, 2, and 3 depth chart of the New York Jets, I'd say it's going to be Chris Ivory 1. It's going to be Stephen Ridley 2. And Bilal Powell is going to be your third down running back. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, Bilal Powell is going to come out there and do some interesting things. And obviously mixing Zach Stacy in there to the mix is going to be the X factor, if you will. But if you were gonna ask me who's gonna be the three running backs on the depth chart, I think Bilal Powell will edge out Zach Stacy. Maybe Zach Stacy gets them, but they'll be competing there for 3 and 4. And I think the Jets will keep 4 running backs going into the year. So we'll see what they end up doing. But Bilal Powell will certainly have an interesting year, and he's got the competition now. He's got Stephen Ridley in there to compete with him. He's got Zach Stacy in there to compete with him, and he's got Daryl Richardson in there to compete with him. So we'll see what it ends up turning out to be.
Okay, yeah, it's definitely going to be a really, you know, interesting position at running back with 5 different guys who can potentially, you know, make the team. You look at Daryl Richardson, he was a, you know, he carried the ball a lot for the Rams when he was there, so he's definitely in the mix, and people don't seem to think that he could, you know, break the game open, but he actually has some speed and some game-breaking ability, so he's definitely in the mix too. You know, but I wanted to ask you about who the Jets drafted in the 4th round, and it's obviously it's Bryce Petty, and some fans are already, you know, deeming him the savior of the Jets and to start on week 1, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. And it's actually nice to hear, you know, Todd Bowles say that they aren't looking to start him. But, you know, what do you think are some of Bryce Petty's strengths and weaknesses? And do you see him needing a year or maybe even 2 or 3 before he can potentially compete for a starting job here?
I don't know if he needs 3 years to start. I think he definitely needs a year of sitting to learn the offense and to learn how to make NFL reads and then make his eventual start. But this is a guy that has the arm strength. This is a guy that has the accuracy. This is a guy that has a little bit of mobility to make himself a interesting prospect in the NFL. And I'm intrigued to see him play. Look, this is a guy that I'm certainly intrigued to see him in rookie minicamp. This is a guy I'm intrigued to see in minicamp, organized team activities, training camp. He's a very interesting name. Personally, I believe that this is the guy that's going to edge out Matt Sims in terms of that third-string quarterback, and he will definitely be on the roster. But I do not believe he's a player that's going to be playing week 1 or at all this season. I mean, this is a guy that is a project player, a guy that you need to teach some things to, a guy that you need to fine-tune his mechanics, a guy that you need to teach how to make reads and things of that nature. And he's a guy that will eventually, I think, could be a pretty good quarterback in the NFL. I don't know if he'll ever be great, but I think he could be good. I like to pick in the 4th round. Like he was eventually going to go in the 4th round anyway. The Jets jumped up. They believe in him. And again, going back to what I said earlier on, was that Mike Maccagnan and Tom Bowles want to add competition to every single position. And doing that means quarterback. Quarterback isn't an exception. And by adding Bryce Petty into the mix, They're adding competition to Geno Smith. They're adding competition to Ryan Fitzpatrick. They're adding competition to Matt Sims. So you're talking about a pick that makes a lot of sense, and I don't think he'll be the answer this year. I don't think he'll even see the field this year, but he will eventually see the field for the New York Jets.
You know, and I want to head back to the offensive line real quick. I know I read McCagney, you know, he really knows how to evaluate offensive linemen. And, you know, Jarvis Harrison, I think, is an interesting pick. You know, this is a guy I saw as early as the second round in some mock drafts, you know. And with Willie Colon re-signing this year, we all know the problems that he has had last year, you know, with his holding penalties, whether it be an injury. You know, I think Jarvis Harrison has a chance to maybe compete and maybe earn that starting job. I mean, this is a guy with work ethic problems, but I wanted to get your take on Jarvis Harrison and whether or not you think he can compete for one of the starting tackle or guard jobs.
I don't think he'll compete for a starting offensive guard or offensive tackle position. What I do believe is that he's a good name to be thrown in there. Now, granted, look, the question with Harrison is does he want it as much as somebody else? Does he want to work as much as an NFL player needs to work? And the question is he going to do that? And I don't know. And certainly the Jets are willing to take the chance on him and take the risk on him, but I don't believe that he's going to be a guy that's going to be competing to be starting this year. I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to be in the mix starting this year, but next year or a year down the road, he could be a guy that's in the mix to start at offensive guard for the New York Jets. But he's a guy that has all the talent in the world. The question is his work ethic, and you'll be able to figure out early on there in a rookie year if he's got the work ethic to make it in the NFL.
Okay, so one more question before we let you go. And I had to get this out of you before we do let you go. You know, we've heard a lot of A's, we've heard a lot of, you know, A minuses, B's, and like I talked about with Vinny before, we've heard some C's from obviously some people who are obviously Patriots fans. But you know, I know it doesn't make sense to judge a draft a couple of days after it. You like to usually judge it, you know, 2, 3, 4 years down the line. But if you had to issue the Jets a letter grade, what would it be?
I would probably give them a B or a B plus. I mean, when you're talking about the New York Jets roster, you're talking about a team right now that addressed their offensive line in the signing of drafting of Jarvis. You're talking about a team that addressed the need of a wide receiver, a guy that can stretch this field in Smith. Now, what the team didn't address is the need for a pure pass rusher, and that's kind of where I'm questioning the team. So if you needed me to put a line in terms of what they needed or what they wanted to need or anything like that, I would probably give them a B plus. So they addressed 2 out of 3 positions of need. What they still need to do is the offensive line. What they still need to do is the pass rushing in terms of an outside linebacker or something like that. So B plus B is right around where I would give them.
Okay, yeah, it's definitely awesome to hear. You know, a couple of years ago, we were hearing B's and F's and even some C minuses and things like that. So it's definitely here to hear some, you know, B's and B pluses and A's. But we definitely want to thank you for joining us around Jet Nation Radio. It's really appreciated. We really do, you know, value your opinion. And hopefully we have you on soon, maybe after maybe some roster cuts.
Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate you guys for having me.
Thanks, Connor.
Thank you.
Okay, so, you know, definitely very insightful, Vinny. He makes some good points about, you know, Bryce Petty probably not starting. I can't believe that fans are already saying that he should be starting. When you see him coming out of college, you know, coming out of the shotgun 97% of the time, think that he can take a snap under center and actually tunnel up an NFL team is a little bit ridiculous. But, you know, we'll go back to our Leonard Williams discussion because we definitely have to talk about that some more because you can go into – you know, how he fits with Wilkerson and all of these things. But I want to start off with, you know, taking the best player in the draft at number 6 when he was supposed to go no lower to than the, you know, the Titans or the Raiders or even the Redskins. You know, when I saw him, you know, slipping past the Raiders and they took Amari Cooper and the Redskins were there, I honestly, at that moment, I was kind of hoping they took him so they had a choice. But then you look back on it and you see Leonard Williams getting selected by a Jets defensive line who already has Wilkerson and Sheldon and Harrison, and now you add Leonard Williams to that, who, like I said before, people say is virtually unblockable. And, you know, McCagman came out and said it after we drafted him. He said, when you get a player who is substantially better than the players around him, you don't factor in need to the decision-making. And we've seen the Jets
and other teams, you know, usually poor NFL franchises like the Jaguars or, you know, like the Raiders or like teams like that, they see the need, they see the receiver that they need, mm-hmm. they see the offensive line they need, and they take a shot at them. But I really like the best player available aspect of it. So, you know, what is your opinion on Leonard Williams, and what do you think his ceiling is?
Yeah, you know, I like how you said, you know, the first five teams that selected, they're going for key needs, so to say, and not best player, you know. And I think that McKagan realizes that this Jets roster that he had before the draft wasn't the sixth worst team in the NFL. And in that case, you know, that then I think he can go for best player. And getting a guy, Leonard Williams, you know, who's run up 300 pounds, has 14 career sacks, you know, this guy who is permanently getting double team. You know, you see some of his highlights. He's just a freakish athlete. He looks like a basketball player out there. You know, he can move so quickly. His hand, he keeps, in his interviews, he keeps talking about how much he uses his hands. And that's one thing that when I think about defensive linemen, I think back to Muhammad Wilkerson and Sheldon Richardson. And when they got drafted and when they had success, it was about their hands and the way they used it in the ground, you know, lining up against the offensive guards and tackles. So I think I really like how Leonard Williams has conducted himself. And you got to keep in mind, this guy is 20 years old. You know, he's not 21 for another month or so. So, you know, adding him to an already stout defense, you know, he's going to learn under Muhammad Wilkerson, under Sheldon Richardson, you know, a guy who won Rookie of the Year. And he's not going to – I don't think he's going to have as much pressure as the number six pick in the draft usually has. You know, when you look back to the last time the Jets had the sixth pick, Vernon Golston, you know, I mean, that, you know, I mean, just think about that, you know, just in itself brings Jet fans nightmares. But well, you got to think about it. When they drafted Vernon Golston, they labeled this guy as a 10 sack guy right out of the draft, you know. And I don't think that Leonard Williams is going to necessarily have any tags on him, honestly, because, I mean, this guy comes into a team, you know, last year you look back, you know, to their starting corners, you know, Marcus Williams, Phillip Adams, that names. You know, you look back to how poor their secondary was, you know, adding all the names. We already know, you know, the Revises, the Camardis, the Screens, the Gilchrists. You know, the list goes on and on. So I think adding a guy like Leonard Williams is just an absolute steal. McKagan realized that, and Coach Bowles, you know, what he said in his press conference, you know, he wants to preach depth at a position, which he clearly addressed, and he wants people to compete. He wants players to compete. And, you know, I don't think that he's gonna take time away from Muhammad Wilkerson or Sheldon Richardson or Harrison even for that matter. But this is a guy who could come in, you know, second, third down, you know, situational times, you know, who could be a beast. You know, I expect him to play, you know, about, you know, 70% of the game or so. But this is a guy, you know, you don't have to have all the pressure in the world. And I think that he realizes that coming into a team, you know, you saw him at that press conference, he was cool, calm, and collected, you know, and he was ready to go. You know, he said, you know, he's this guy who hasn't even had his driver's license, but this is a kid who really knows how to get his job done. You know, he said he just studies and studies, watching film over and over, which is just, you know, it's amazing. You know, 20 years old, I can't imagine myself doing that, right? You know, so it's I think it's an excellent pick for the Jets at six. Adding a guy who in cases if, say, you know, that Tampa Bay didn't need a quarterback, I think this guy goes number one overall in the draft. That's how good he is.
Yeah, no, we definitely know when we were 20, we weren't, you know, studying film all the time, and you're up there at Seton Hall going to parties and doing all that stupid stuff.
Nah.
So, you know, he's obviously 20 years old. So he still has some things to work on. You hear that he has to work on his pass rushing a little bit and some things like that with leverage. But, you know, you hear about the length. You hear how long he is and how long his arms are, which when I look at a prospect and I hear about a defensive end or outside linebacker, one of the most important things to me is honestly arm length, because that really, you know, determines how easily they can get off blocks and things like that. You see the athleticism. You talk about him not having a car. He's 20 years old. He's 300 pounds, and I believe he's, what, 6'4", 6'5", and the dude's running a long board to class. So you can see the athleticism there and how, you know, chill and relaxed he is. I definitely like how you brought up the strong hands, because that's what a whole bunch of people say. And when you get comparisons to, you know, Rip Seymour, J.J. Watt, Sue Sheldon,
And the worst comparison I heard was as far as the floor goes, I heard of a poor man's Muhammad Wilkerson out to his floor. So to get that guy at six, it's definitely, you know, very interesting. But you have to see how he factors into this line. And it's great to hear, you know, guys like McShay and Kuiper and guys like even Mike Francesa, who obviously hates the Jets, and we all know he hates the Jets.
That's the worst.
He's saying the Jets have the best defensive line in the NFL. So it's nice to hear some of those things. But you really have to see how he factors into this line, because I don't think he's a nose tackle. He's 300 pounds, obviously. You know, he's not big enough. You know, you look at a guy like Damon Harrison, he's 350 pounds. So you really need to go across the middle to do that. So basically, to me, the Jets have, you know, three defensive ends who play 3 and 5 techniques. So at some point, I hope it's not this year, and I love Wilkerson. And, of course, I just got behind his jersey, but it seems like they're going to have to choose between, you know, Wilkerson, Sheldon, and Williams. There's no way that they're going to pour all this money. They're looking at maybe $13 million for Wilkerson. Sheldon's going to demand the same, if not more money, because I think Sheldon is actually slightly better than Wilkerson will be. And you look at a guy like Williams, who, if he does reach his ceiling or even somewhere close to it, and he ends up being a Richard Seymour or a Sewer or even another Sheldon, there's no way that the Jets are pouring all of this money into defensive end. So at some point, they're going to have to make a decision. I hope it's not this year, but it seems like, having three superstars at two positions on the field is definitely going to be very interesting to see that. And the rotation thing that you brought up is a very good point, because Wilkerson and Sheldon only play about, I believe it was 75 to 80% of the snaps. And now you have a guy coming in, Leonard Williams, who's going to keep them fresh. You're looking at a guy like Wilkerson and Sheldon, keeping those guys fresh, and on every down they come out, you have, you know, I'm not disrespecting Duzable or Wilkerson or Bowen here, but to take them out and sub on a guy like Leonard Williams, you can definitely see why people are saying that the Jets have the best defensive line in the NFL. But Vinny, we have a caller right now. So welcome to the show, caller 601. Give your name and the topic you want to talk about.
Zach, and I want to talk about the draft.
What's up, Zach?
What's up, Zach?
Come on, boys.
Not much, man.
How you doing, man? Definitely a good week.
What's going on? I just want to talk about the draft. You know, obviously the Jets, you know, it's pretty big, you know, them getting the number 6 pick and them choosing Leonard. You know, that was actually very, very close, you know. Nobody really expected that guy to fall that low, you know?
Yeah, you know, that was
definitely surprising. So what do you personally think about the pick? How do you think they're going to fit him in on this defensive line? Obviously they play a 3-4, and a 4-3 is definitely a possibility, but when you look at the techniques they play and the gaps they're specifically playing, it doesn't work out as well as you think it does. But, you know, how do you think that a guy like Leonard Williams fits into this defense?
You gotta move him around. You know, it's not gonna be, you know, easy right off the gate. You know, obviously he's gonna have to adjust. But, you know, just looking from highlights and, you know, really seeing the type of player he is, you know, I think he's gonna fit very, very well into this Jets defensive core unit. And, you know, it's just gonna be a powerhouse. You know, just like I think one of the reporters said. From ESPN, I don't really know who it was, or somebody said, you know, who the heck's going to stop this defense, you know? Who's really going to stop? Who is going to score on this defense? You have two legitimate corners in Darrell Revis and Antonio Cromartie. You have safeties in Antonio Allen, Calvin Pryor, even got Marcus Gilchrist. And now you got the defensive core with Damian Harrison, Muhammad Wilkerson, Quentin Coples. And now you can add a guy like Leonard. Come on. This defense easily is top 3 and by far can even be the top 1 in my mind.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely no doubt about it that, you know, this defense has potential to be number 1. And when you're talking about, you know, a 3rd-and-1 or a 4th-and-1 on the goal line, and you're looking at, you know, Quinn Coples at outside linebacker and Calvin Pace on the edges, and then you're looking at stacking Leonard Williams, Harrison, Sheldon, and Wilkerson. It seems like nobody's going to be able to gain any yardage on this rush defense. And you look at
the fact that they were tops and not the top team, but one of the top teams in rush defense last year. And then you had a guy like Leonard Williams with a defensive, you know, with another defensive coach who's hopefully going to install some, you know, discipline in these guys, and hopefully that makes them, you know, that much better. But Zach, before we let you go, I definitely wanted to ask you a question. If you had to pick your favorite pick other than Leonard Williams, I think a lot of Jets fans' favorite pick is Leonard Williams. But what is your favorite pick other than Leonard Williams, and what is your least favorite pick other than Leonard Williams?
You know, I would say definitely, you know, I kind of, you know, it's kind of a tie, you know, between, you know, obviously Bryce Petty and Devin Smith. You know, between those two picks, honestly, I feel like Devin Smith right off the bat can be a big hit. You know, him, you know, the long ball. I know a lot of people are saying, you know, what's going to be with Devin Smith? You know, he's very versatile. You know, he's very down the field player, you know, very, can make a lot of room for himself, tall receiver. You know, you want like a straw, a guy, a quarterback, him with a, you know, a strong arm. And then a lot of people are going to say, well, why don't you just start Bryce Petty? Well, you know, Petty's really, it's early stages, you know, for him. You know, he's going to learn from guys like Fitzpatrick, you know. Obviously, you know, the guys are going to mentor him, whether it's Geno or Fitz. But, you know, honestly, you know, I really like Devin Smith a lot. You know, can't really go wrong with Bryce Petty there. You know, and then, you know, the bad take, you know, I mean, I wasn't really thrilled about it. You know, Lorenzo Maldon, you know, not really a standout guy, you know. And then they picked some, and then they picked the later guys in the round. I think it was some guy, he had a worse ethic issue or something. He wasn't very motivated to, you know, because he played, I think he also played one of these guys they picked in the later rounds. I don't even know who he was, but yeah.
Yeah, Jarvis Harrison, yep.
Yeah, you know, Zach, you know, you make some good points there, Devin Smith. You know, this guy's been labeled as a one-trick pony. You know, but I think he doesn't have to come in and necessarily be a, you know, 50 to 60 catch type of guy for the Jets. He's the type of guy who's going to learn under one of the best receivers in his past, you know, era with Brandon Marshall, a guy like Eric Decker, you know, guys around him who have done this before for a long time. So I think Devin Smith, I think there's a lot to be excited about there if you're a Jets fan. You know, Lorenzo Maldon, you know, I disagree with you a little bit. This guy, you know, who, like the guy we had on before, he's a guy who's bounced around, you know, 16 different foster homes when he's a kid. I know that's nothing, you know, nothing to bring up in NFL, but this type of guy who can get after the pass rusher, I mean, get after the quarterback, and, you know, after 4 years of Quinn Coples, who really hasn't produced that much, you know, I think it's going to be good to add more competition to the outside linebacker position.
Right, definitely, definitely. I hear that, you know. Obviously, you guys got to step up, you know. Even though we got, you know, guys in the draft, you know, obviously, you know, Coples, you know, has to really step it up. You know, this has got to be, you know, he's threatened, you know, with replacements, you know, that they got in the draft. You know, I'm expecting a big year from Quinnen. You know, I feel like he's the type of player that, you know, really is a hard hitter. You know, he knows what he's doing on the field. You know, it's just a matter of showing up game day, just producing, you know, what he's told to do. You know, I mean, from this point on, I mean, I really feel confident about the Jets. I mean, if you had to ask me whether who's going to be the Jets quarterback this year, I'd probably have to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I can definitely see him beating out Geno Smith. But don't you know, get off guard, you know, if Geno Smith beats him out. You know, Geno wants to prove all his haters wrong, you know. Obviously, Geno is very, you know, competitive. It's just a matter of, you know, correcting his mistakes and not doing what he did last year, you know.
Yeah, I think it's a, you know, big years for those two guys in particular. Geno Smith, I think this is really his make or break year. And going back to Geno, I think this is the first time, you know, in his era with the Jets that he's surrounded by what I think is a complete team, you know, from a defense side of the ball. I think they're as the, like you said, top three, you know, top two can even be the best. And to add him, you know, finally give him some weapons, you know, get guys like Marshall, get a Devin Smith, add a Stephen Ridley in a running game. I think this is the year Geno Smith has to take over and take charge as the quarterback for the Jets. It's a second-round pick from a few years ago who was really, really excelled in college, you know, when he had some quick receivers, some big receivers, and now he has that with the Jets. And with Quinn Coples, you know, we all know what he was in college. He was a beast in college in North Carolina, you know, drafted 16th overall, you know, and he has 16 and a half sacks in 4 years. You know, and he has no excuses. Look at this defensive line. He's going to get that one-on-one opportunity, you know, play in and play out. So this is the year where he really has to produce. And if it's not with sacks, it has to be with, you know, tackles for loss, pass breakups, things of those natures. And if he can do that, you know, he doesn't have to worry about a Lorenzo Malden coming in and taking a spot, you know, the first year he's drafted.
Yeah, no, right, you definitely see, you know, Quentin Coples hopefully having a big year. Hopefully he's not, you know, out at the 20-yard mark, you know, jamming receivers and things like that, because it's just not what he's meant to do. He's not meant to drop in the coverage. I'm really hoping that Todd Bowles just has him rushing the passer strictly, because that's really all he can do. He's not going to cover a tight end. He's not going to cover a linebacker. So when he's in the game, he should have his hand in the dirt or, you know, standing up. But the only job for Quentin Coples should be to rush the passer. So we'll see what happens with that. With the Ryan Fitzpatrick thing, I really think that even though they want it to be a, you know, 50-50 competition, I feel like if you go into the season with Ryan Fitzpatrick and he does decent and you can't take him out and then you still have Geno Smith sitting there, the Jets, you know, they're not going to be too sure about their quarterback situation. And I hope by next year that Geno does start. And then if they see that if he can't, you know, hold down the job, that they're going to move into the top 10 next year. Maybe we do trade a guy like Muhammad Wilkerson to get a Hackenberger, to get a Connor Cook, or to get a Cardell Jones. So we're definitely going to see Zach, and it's definitely going to be very interesting. We definitely want to hear from you next week, and thank you for the call, Zach.
Definitely, no problem. Take it easy, guys.
Thanks, bud.
Have a good one.
Hey, now I made some good
points. Okay, so Vinny, there's definitely some things, you know, to talk about. But the last question I have for you about Leonard Williams is more related to Muhammad Wilkerson. So if you had to, you know, I know it's early to guess, and we're not really hearing too much. Training camp hasn't even come up yet. Muhammad Wilkerson has only really missed, you know, voluntary camps and things like that. But in your estimation, do you think that he's going to be a Jet this year, or do you think he's going to be a Jet potentially next year? Do you see him getting traded?
You know, it's interesting with Muhammad Wilkerson. You know, it's a local guy in the Temple. He's from Jersey, lives 20 minutes from MetLife Stadium. This is the guy who loves playing for the Jets. The fans love him. You know, previous head coach Rex Ryan loved him like his own son. You know, but what I found interesting was, you know, Maccagnan and Bowles said after the draft, after they drafted Leonard Williams, that they're going to reach out to him and, you know, talk to his guys, talk to his agents, and hopefully, you know, try to work something out. And what I found interesting was, I think it was Rich Samini of ESPN who asked Coach Bowles in that same press conference, was what are you going to do with Leonard Williams? Are you going to stay strictly a 3-4 team? Are you going to, you know, implicate some 4-3 packages? And he said, you know, we're a 3-4, but we're going to put a lot of 4-3 packages in. You know, I mean, and saying a 4-3, you know, you're going to create nightmares on the mismatches for these guys. But with Muhammad Wilkerson, you know, he's 25 years old in the prime of his career. You know, he's had an all pro caliber type of year, you know, double digit in the sacks. This is the guy who can do it. Who can do, you know, he can literally do it all. You know, that's why adding Leonard Williams, which is, you know, I found a little surprising a little bit just because of what the Jets already had of Muhammad Wilkerson and also signing, you know, Damon Harrison in that second round tender. So, I mean, I think Muhammad Wilkerson, you know, I think he's scheduled to make around $7 million this year. He's gonna try to get something done. I don't think he's gonna hold out of the season. I think he's gonna maybe hold out maybe a week or two in training camp. I'm not really sure. You know, I don't think he wants to cause drama. You know, he's a guy who's been quiet, who has let his game, you know, his game on the field do the talking for him. This is a guy, you know, this is Big Mo. You know, everyone knows him as Big Mo, and they want him. in that nose tackle. You know, I mean, you pair these three guys up. You know, say it's the last year of Damon Harrison. And you try, you know, they go to part ways with him. You know, this could potentially be, you know, the three-headed monster for the Jets for the next decade. I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, getting it done. And I think, you know, it's a lot of question marks. You know, the NFL salary was recently increased, but I think it was like around $15 to $20 million this past year, something like that. So, I mean, there is money if they do it the right way. And I think a lot has to do with it, honestly, with the play of the quarterback position, you know, because when you look at, like, teams like the Seahawks, you know, like teams that have, you know, have made, you know, deep in the playoffs, the 49ers before signing Kaepernick to that long-term deal, is when they had those quarterbacks on those rookie deals, you know, and able to sign players, their star players, to big deals. So, I mean, I think it's going to be big here because who knows? You know, Bryce Petty may be the starter for next 4 years, and he's still under contract under that rookie deal, enabling the Jets not to pay quarterback $15 to $20 million. So, I mean, there's a lot of things go into factor on the regarding of keeping Muhammad Wilkerson. But to answer your question initially, I think he's going to be a Jet this year. You know, I was seeing some things they might have to franchise tag next year, which is not a bad deal. You know, franchise tag, I think you make, you know, around $10 million, something like that for the premier nose tackle. So I mean, it's not a bad gig for a 26-year-old making $10 million. But it's gonna be interesting. I know he wants to be here. I think the Jets should pay him. You know, and you look at his aspect. You know, look at the offseason the Jets had. You know, signing players left and right. You know, giving Screen 4 years and, you know, $20 plus million. You know, signing Revis that big deal, Cromartie. Everyone's getting paid, and he's just sitting there. You know, when is it my turn? So I mean, I don't know if Coach Bowles doesn't necessarily see him fitting in his scheme, you know, in the future. But this is something that I think they're going to get right, whatever it is. Because I mean, if they want to go trade a 25-year-old premier nose tackle, this guy, in my opinion, is top three, top four nose tackles in the league. Because he can get sacks. You know, he can get 10 sacks a year. I think they're going to get it right, and I know if they want to trade him, that they would demand at least 2 first-round picks, you know. And so, I mean, there in itself, if he can do that, I don't think he's going to remain a Jet if some team offers him 2 first-round picks for Muhammad Wilkerson. But I'm not, you know, it's going to be hard to say no to that offer, you know, especially with, you know, the quarterback need. And if it's a team that's struggling and it's, you know, a team that can be a top 5 pick next year, you never know. But, you know, Mo Wilkerson, I love Mo Wilkerson personally. I'm trying not to let that, you know, interfere in my thinking. But I think it's the guy who, you know, you put him on that D-line with, you know, with the D-line we have right now, with an elite secondary. This is the guy who can produce at a very, very high level. So I think the Jets will get –
You know, in my opinion, I disagree with you on a few things. And just real quick, he's a defensive end. He's not the nose tackle is Damon Harrison. I know he moves to you know, the nose tackle and the defensive tackle sometimes, but right now, you know, his position is DN, so he would get paid or franchise tagged at the DN. So that would be the franchise, I believe, is right around $16 million. So it definitely wouldn't be cheap. And what I said before, you know, when you look at having three defensive ends, because even Leonard Williams didn't really play D tackle too much in college. He was more of a 3 and 5 technique, so he's really more on the edge. And I know there will be some 4-3 looks, and some people have, you know, questioned maybe they can go to a 4-3, but then you have to change your entire linebacking core because we don't have any stand-up outside linebackers. Even Malden is not a stand-up linebacker. Neither is Babin, neither is Pace, and neither is Copels. And, you know, when you look at a 4-3 defense, the middle linebackers are usually more athletic, and obviously David Harris is not athletic. He's a good run stuffer, but he's not going to be covering anybody. He does, and we've seen him fail multiple times trying to cover people. So I don't think that will really work out. And to have, you know, three superstars at two positions, and I'm with you, Vin. You know how much I love Mo Wilkerson. He's a hometown kid. I believe he's from Linden, New Jersey.
He grew up.
Yeah, he grew up 45 minutes down the road from us. So we definitely love him. But you can't have these many defensive ends and be paying this much money. So what I honestly see happening is I see him playing for the Jets this year, and, you know, Leonard Williams winning for these guys. But and this is my problem with the Bryce Petty pick too. I like Bryce Petty, and I like getting him in the fourth round. But then when you kind of digest it, and we'll get into the Bryce Petty a little bit now. When you digest it, if Geno Smith doesn't work out this year, say he comes in, and, you know, let's just say he sucks. You know, he has Marshall, he has Devin Smith, he has Chase Amaro in his second year. You know, Jeff Humlin's not a good blocker, but he's still a decent receiving tight end. And you have all these guys, you have a good running game. I know we don't have a home run threat, but we still have solid running backs who are going to be a top 10 rushing team in the NFL. If he can't get it done this year, we're going to be looking for a quarterback next year. And that's my only problem with the Bryce Petty pick is because I believe that Jets
you know, they do need a quarterback. I believe that they're going to trade Muhammad Wilkerson for a top 10 pick or, you know, top 15 pick, and whatever that they have to throw into that deal to make it a top 10 pick or a top 5 pick, because you look at, you know, possibly three quarterbacks going in the top 15 and Cardale Jones. Obviously, this stuff changes, and don't write me down as having three quarterbacks going in the top 15, because I remember a year ago, Brent Hundley, before the season, people were saying he was going to be a first-round pick, and he ended up going the fifth round. So take this as it's going to happen. But you can potentially have Cardale Jones. You can potentially have Chris Hackenberg from Penn State, and you can potentially have Connor Cook all going in the top 15. So I think he might get traded. And you look at Bryce Petty. You have Geno Smith. You don't want him next year. Let's say he does bad. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not the answer. I mean, go into the season not getting a quarterback because you have, you know, Bryce Petty. So yeah, he might honestly end up being a depth quarterback or a second string quarterback. Unless for some reason Geno is terrible, and then Ryan Fitzpatrick comes in, he gets injured, and Bryce Petty has his shot. You know, maybe week 12. So I really don't think it's gonna happen. I really think he has to, you know, sit down for at least a year, because you look at his shotgun snaps, and 97% of the snaps are from shotgun. He was through a one read offense in Baylor where he basically just snapped the ball and he just threw it up deep. That's all he did. He has a beautiful deep ball. He can throw some nice accurate balls. He's 6'3", 230, so he doesn't have to look for the quarterback, but he has to learn. And I definitely like that he's coming into an offense, with Chan Gailey. That's his threat. That definitely helps him out, but he's definitely not going to be ready this year. So, you know, what are your opinions on the Bryce Petty pick, Ben?
You know, Bryce Petty, I mean, when you look at him in college, he was just, a spread type of quarterback. So a lot of flaws in his game. You know, his arm, not necessarily the strongest. You know, he's a veteran. He's 24, I believe. So he's an older pick. You know, but he's a smart, he's very smart is what I've been told. Very, very smart type of quarterback. But, I mean, I don't think this is something the Jets fans should get really excited about, Bryce Petty. I mean, but who knows? This guy could turn into a
he's not the savior. He's definitely not the savior.
Yeah, you know? So it could be a lot of things. You know, it could be, you know, just a wasted pick. It could be someone who turns a fourth round. You know, look at Tom Brady. I mean, obviously he's a sixth round pick. You know, there's a lot of picks that, you know.
Oh, don't
drafted,
say it.
You know?
People
I know,
get
I know. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. You know, when you look at picks, when you look at guys who performed at rates when the fuel that players get. You know, I know it sounds cheesy, but the fuel that they get, you know, when they're not picked, you know, in the top rounds, you know, you see all these players who are picked, you know, in the 12th of their position. That's the number they're going to wear to remind GMs of how many players are taken in front of them. But this Bryce Petty, you know, this is – I saw on one thing. I know he's obviously not as good as Mariota or Winston. This guy I saw second, you know, and second on one guy's board. And, you know, and he was consistently the third-ranked quarterback. So, I mean, I think getting him in the fourth round, you know, hey, in the right system with the right weapons, I think any quarterback can succeed. So, I mean, I think Geno Smith, I think this is really the year. You know, if he stinks, if he really lays an egg out there, you know, then there's no more hope in Geno Smith. I think that, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, he's a veteran. He's not the long-term answer. And, you know, this is the question the Jets have been facing themselves for the last 40 years. When are we going to get a quarterback that's going to be our starter for 10 plus seasons? So, I mean, it's going to be a pick. I think we're not going to really know for a few years, but again, we might know, you know, I mean, Geno Smith, I think this is going to be, he's going to be taking the first team snaps this season, you know, going into camp. So, I mean, I think this is going to be his to begin with, and barring, I don't know, an injury to Fitzpatrick, you know, he just recently broke his leg. If that's not fully healed, then maybe Petty will be the backup, and if Geno Smith fails, Petty can get a shot. And let's be frank, with these weapons around them, and if this offensive line can be good, and with a running game last year that was pretty solid with Ivory and Powell, I mean, there's no reason why Geno Smith cannot succeed in this type of offense. You know, Chan Gailey coming in, implementing a new system. I know it's hard on Geno. I believe this is his third offensive coordinator or anything. He has one every different year, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, it's going to be – I mean, you really can't fault him too much for the first 2 years. I mean, the teams around him just frankly – the team he was on, frankly, just wasn't good. So, I mean, I really think this is the year Geno Smith can beat. You know, I think the Jets just needed to be a middle of the pack quarterback, to be honest. Maybe a 15, you know, around the 15, you know, top 15 quarterback. Because, you know, this is a team with defense can win you games. Just, you know, this, you know, some games this defense is going to give up 10 points, you know, 14 points maybe. Yeah. I think, you know, you get 3 touchdowns a game from Geno Smith in about, you know, 8 to 10 possessions a game. I don't think that's too much to ask, to be honest with you. So, I mean, Bryce Petty, again, I don't think we're going to know for a few years. But, I mean, with a fourth round pick, I think, you know, there really wasn't too much harm going into that pick. And, you know, you just don't know with some guys.
Yeah, no, and you bring up a good point that he was second on some boards. I don't think that was a lot of boards. I think that was maybe only one guy.
Yeah, one
but
dude.
To me, he was the third quarterback. I don't like Brett Hundley at all. I've said on this show in past weeks, I really just don't like his pocket awareness. He sees one guy coming at him, and he runs, you know, for a touchdown. And he gets hit a lot. So I think he's going to be in a good place and learning under Aaron Rodgers. And I'm really honestly surprised that Sean Mannion and Brett Hundley went before Bryce Petty did, because, you know, you talked about it. You hear about his character. You hear how good of a leader he is. You hear, you know, about how smart he is. I'm not ready to deem him the savior, but maybe in, you know, 2 years he comes in and he's a decent quarterback. And I heard a comparison on Twitter the other day that his feeling is an Andy Dalton. Fans were going crazy that, you know, Andy Dalton sucks and all of this. But, you know, if you just had Andy Dalton on this team right now, I know he chokes in playoff games. But I can almost guarantee you that we get to the playoffs. And you look at Andy Dalton, I know he has A.J. Green, but they went to the playoffs how long has he been in the league? 4 or 5 years, and they've been to the playoffs every single year. I don't know if they were in this year. I actually forget right now. But, you know, you say this, you know, Geno Smith learning new offense. This is his second offensive coordinator. I believe it's for his first 2 years. It was Monty Moore anyway. But usually it is a hard transition. But you look at him going into a West Coast offense that he ran with West Virginia. So, like you said, he has Brandon Marshall. He has all these guys. He has no excuses at all. So, we'll see what happens with that. But I definitely, you know, it's time to get off the quarterbacks and it's time to get off Leonard Williams. It's really dive into, you know, what you thought about Devin Smith as a pick in the second round at number 35.
Yeah, you know, I really like Devin Smith a lot. I mean, last time the Jets took a receiver in the second round is Stephen Hill, but, you know,
oh my God! You're mentioning Vernon Golston and Stephen Hill.
I know. Well, I mean, I think it goes to talk about how things have changed in, you know, the front office. You know, I think they were just taking those guys previous to fill a need, not necessarily the best player. And I think the Jets are going best value, best player. Devin Smith. You know, again, this is a guy who, you know, Dean, like I said before, Dean, the one trick pony, just runs the deep ball. But I think in his first year, he's going to learn how to run those hitch routes, run those curls, run those slants. And, you know, and what he does best is that deep ball. And what's, you know, it's proven, I think with Marshall and Decker, you got, you know, two of the top, you know, top 10, top 15 route runners in the NFL. Because, you know, Decker, we saw last year, this guy almost had 1,000 yards with Geno Smith throwing him the ball, you know. And it was basically.
And on top of that, his hamstring was hurt all year. Yep.
Yeah, that Bears game, the Monday night game, he caught the first pass of the game, then he was out the rest of the game. But anyways, you know, with these two guys, you know, I think adding a guy, Devin Smith, who can, you know, they're not going to, not expecting him to catch 50, 60, not even 40 balls. This is the guy who I think it was like 36% of his catches in college were touchdowns. So, I mean, it's the guy come in like, you know, I think the Jets, you can pencil him in from 30 to around 40, 45 catches, but he's going to have, I think, at least 5 or 6 touchdowns because he has that speed. He has that killer speed. And again, with, you know, when you pound him with the 5 yard, the 7 yard, the 9 yard, you know, throws the curls and slants, you know, you can pop one open over the middle. I think he's really going to take the top off the defense. You know, I think he's an excellent value pick. This is the guy who, you know, I saw comparisons to Deshaun Jackson. And if he's nearly what that is, minus the off-field character issues, which he has none, I think this is the guy who can really be really, really be a steal. Now, I some guys had him going in the first round even. This is the guy who, you know, is very young, very talented. This guy who, who shines in big games. In that Big Ten championship game, he had 3 touchdowns, 147 yards, you know, in the national title game. He made some spectacular over-the-head catches against Oregon. So this is the guy who can, you know, not afraid of the spotlight. And I think he's going to come in not expecting to do so much like Leonard Williams, because the position is already stacked, in my opinion. And we forgot to add Dermot Curley. Curley had a disappointing season, in my opinion, last year. I think he's going to come with a bounce-back season this year. So, I mean, it's, you know, you're four deep. You know, Shaq Evans, we haven't seen him yet. You know, it's they're like five deep, six deep at receiver. You know, Salim Hakeem even, and you got some good tight ends. It's gonna be interesting. I really like the pick of Devin Smith. You know, I'm happy they did not go Green Beckham there, just because, I mean, of the character issues. You know, you can't bring in a guy like that, because I think Brandon Marshall, even though regardless of what he says in what happened to him in Chicago, I think he might have had some, you know, issues in the locker room, and adding another guy like that, you know, even if Brandon Marshall isn't like that, it's just not, you know, it's not something you want. And Green Beckham, you know, without characters, that guy might have been, you know, the first pick in the draft. That's how talented he was. But I think McCagan and Bowles, you know, they have their system, you know, no nonsense is what I've been hearing from Coach Bowles. You know, it's a guy, a hardworking coach who backs that out of his players. And Devin Smith says he works extremely hard, prides himself on that. So I think, you know, put him in that slot with Curley, it's going to be very, very nice. You know, I think Geno Smith, you know, loved that pick. And it's going to be very interesting to see how that works out.
Yeah, no, you talk about the competition at wide receiver. You know, you have Jeremy Curley and Devin Smith obviously making the team, and that's four deep. And then you look at Shaq Evans, who was a fourth-round pick. You look at a guy like Quincy Enunwa, who was, you know, a sixth-round pick. I believe it was a sixth or a seventh. I think it was a seventh-round pick, actually, last year. And all we've been hearing so far, I know it's, you know, the first couple days of practices, but we hear that he's, you know, really, really improved his routes. You look at Devere Posey, who they just got in the trade, you think that he has a little bit of an advantage. You know, with McCagan, obviously, you know, thinking enough of him to actually mention him and get him in a trade to the Jets. And that's obviously from when the Jets traded down in the third round, and we'll get to, you know, Lorenzo Maldon a little bit. But you look at him, then you look at Salim Hakeem, who you mentioned, but I just think he's a burner. I don't really think he's going to be on this team. You look at Walter Powell. There's a whole bunch of guys, and there's a lot of strength and competition now. We preached competition last year, but you look at the team compared to this year, it's not even close. You look at, you know, all the positions, and we'll get a little bit into this later too. You know, you look at middle linebacker, you look at outside linebacker, you look at cornerback. You look at middle linebacker, you look at defensive line, look at offensive line. It's just there's so much depth, and it's not with guys who are, you know, late pickups, camp bodies. It's actually guys who can actually start. You look at, you know, Joe Mays and Lattimore at middle linebacker, and Lattimore was a linebacker for the Packers, and he actually started a couple of games. He might not even make our team. So, but you know, going into Devin Smith, you know, he ran a 4.4 at the combine. People really say that he plays with a 4.2, a high 4.2 or a low 4.3 type of speed. And you know, you hear about he can't run all these routes, but I've actually seen him run crossing routes very well. Mm-hmm. And you know, have fun trying to keep up with that guy in a crossing route. And you know, he definitely adds a dimension to this offense. You look at the big weapons on this offense, and you mentioned, you know, Doyle Green Beckham, and even a guy in Jalen Strong is there. Look at the type of receivers they are. And like you mentioned, Doyle Green Beckham obviously has the off-the-field problems, and I don't think that, you know, it's not necessarily Marshall. I think it's more of a first-time GM, the first-time Coach Nye wanted to bring in a problem child, you know, hence a problem child to their offense or the team in general. But you look at Devin Smith, he's exactly what the Jets needed. He's obviously, we don't know yet, and don't say I think he's a great player or whatever it is. But you needed a vertical threat. I mean, can you honestly remember the last vertical threat the Jets have had? Like, honestly, I can't think of any. Yeah. Stephen Hill didn't count because he couldn't catch the ball if it got to him. So
yeah,
maybe Santana Moss, maybe Lavernia. No, Santana Moss.
Yeah.
I would probably say Santana
Moss. Yeah, I was going to say Santana Moss back in, you know, early 2000s.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you add that dimension to the offense. You're looking at Jeremy Curley, who, yeah, he had a disappointing year, but he's a quick, shifty guy. He's not fast, he's quick and shifty. And then you're looking at, you know, Jason Morrow, who's 6'5". You're looking at Brandon Marshall, who's just he basically looks like a tree. When you look at the practice pictures, and we'll, you know, me and you, we'll actually hit up the camp and things like that, because you know how we are. We'll definitely be there. But we'll get to see him in person. You look at Decker, who, who runs great routes. He's a big guy. I'm actually, you know, I hate how fans say that he had a bad year when he was getting the ball thrown to him by Geno Smith, and you know, he didn't really have any other weapons around him to really take off the double coverage, and his hamstring was hurt. And I hate how people, you know, make fun of Decker and don't think he's that good. But you look at Devin Smith, people have been saying that he's the best deep threat that's come out in a couple of years. The Jets need speed. He has 28.2 yards per catch, and I think he only had 33 catches last year. But like you said, 12 of them were touchdowns. So out of 33 catches, 12 of them were touchdowns. And people say, oh, well, he only had, I think it was like 956 yards. But when you look at the offense that Ohio State ran, and it was mostly a running type of team, that's not too bad. And he's obviously going to develop. It's not like he needs to be a number two corner, like if we wide receiver. But if we draft him a couple of years ago, he would have had to be the number two, just like Stephen Hill was pushed into a starting role in his first year. And, you know, I definitely understand the Deshaun Jackson comparisons, and I don't think he's necessarily as fast as Deshaun Jackson. But when you look at, Devin Smith weighing almost 20 pounds more than Deshaun Jackson, and people say that he's much more tough, he'll block in the run game, and he'll get in your face like Deshaun Jackson won't. I definitely understand the comparison. I think he's his own type of player, but he definitely has to work on some things. You know, it's not awful. He is the best receiver in the draft. He definitely body catches, and I know people don't think that's true, but he does have some body catches within the NFL that won't work because you have to extend your hand because there are cornerbacks who will slot the ball down. And he does have double catches too, where he catches it at first and kind of throws it up again and catches it. He doesn't get a good grip on the ball, but it's definitely another threat to this offense. You're going to need to put either a fast corner on him or a fast free safety over the top. He definitely will burn you. So it's going to be very interesting to see exactly what he does. But give me your next impressions of him. I want to run through all the picks real quick. Obviously, the later guys we're not going to put too much time into because let's not act like we're scouting. We know a ton about Deion Simon and in the seventh round. So going on to the next guy. Give me your thoughts on Lorenzo Molden, outside linebacker from Louisville, and how you think he fits into this team.
Yeah, Lorenzo Molden, I think it was an interesting pick. Going back, what the Jets really needed entering this draft was a pass rusher. I think that was their number one need, obviously, behind quarterback. And I think, obviously that they knew they weren't going to get a top-tier quarterback in this year's draft. And, pass rusher is something the Jets have lacked for quite a long time now. Quain Copel's supposed to be that guy. It really hasn't panned out too well. Hopefully this is the year he really expands, but I like Molden a lot. I think just the guy who you can bring in third down situations, and he can really get to the quarterback. This is a guy, like I said before, his story getting to the NFL, and I know he's not going to take anything for granted. That's what he kept saying in one of his interviews. And this is a guy who I think, who if he gets on the field third down, get in the right position in a one-on-one battle with a tackle or a guard, I think, or even a running back who picks him up late in blitz. I think it's the guy, Molden, who can, really perform in year one under Coach Bowles. Casey Rogers, the D coordinator, really, really helped out down there in Miami when he was there his previous, I think it was like a 5 or 6 years, whatever it was. But he was there when Cameron Wake came with Miami. I'm not going to say it's Cameron Wake, of course, but this is another guy who was really raw. That's what I've been seeing a lot with Lorenzo Molden. He's very raw in his athletic ability. He's very, very freakish athlete, so to speak. So I think this is a guy who, under the right, right coaching and the right circumstances, comes down in a one-on-one battle. I think Molden can really attack the quarterback. I think it's a lot. I think it's going to open up a lot of holes for guys like Copels, veterans who should, who know how to get the job done. So, I really like the pick. Calvin Pace, again, he's a veteran. I think Molden, they have a similar frame, Molden and Pace. I think Pace can really, really teach him. Linebacker core, you got Pace, you got Harris, you got some nice veterans. DeMario Davis is starting to be a very active vocal leader for this team. I think it's a really nice pick for the Jets in the third round, trading back, getting that pick. I like it a lot. I really think that Molden can step in And, you know, I can't wait to see what he does in camp, what he does in preseason, because I'm very excited to see what he can do. His highlights I recommend, you know, every Jets fan can go check out. I think, you know, there's a lot of videos out there on YouTube, but I would say go check out his highlights, because they're really nice. And I would say, you know, check out this story. Again, like Connor Hughes said before, 16 foster homes, you know, going, you know, not knowing where you're going to be tomorrow. You know, just thinking that, I mean, I know it's hard to think that when it comes down to football, but this guy really has been through it all. So, I mean, I don't think anything is going to faze him. I don't think playing in New York City is going to get to his head. I think he's going to have the right mindset and be a very productive for this Jets team.
Yeah, you know, and obviously the passion doesn't come in it does come on the field, because he obviously plays with passion. He plays very tough. You know, at the end of the day, if he's horrible, people aren't going to care about that passion.
Yeah.
So when you hear – I don't know if you got to hear the interview, Vinny. I honestly forgot where I even saw it online. But he had, like, a conference call after he got picked, and he was literally screaming, crying. Like, he kind of sounded awkward, but he was, like, screaming and sobbing on the phone about how happy he was. And, you know, I'm not saying that he's going to be DeMarcus Ware, but it's definitely going to be hard to not root for this guy. You're going to want to see him do good, and you hear that he ran, you know, a 4.85, so he's not that athletic. But then you look at the highlight film, like you said, and the guy is doing cartwheels and backflips. Like, he's obviously athletic, and people talk about the 4.8, and, you know, 4.8, oh, my God, he's going to be terrible. You know, who else runs a 4.8, 4.9? It's a guy named Terrell Suggs. So don't look into that, you know, too much. And it's not like he has to come in right now and he has to start. It's not like he is starting outside linebacker. He's going to learn behind guys like Pace. I think this is his last year. Guys like Babbitt. He's going to come into a group with Copels. He's going to be rushing the passer, and he has some good pass rush moves. Then you have a guy in IK who is really mean. And honestly, I think that's what this Jets defense lacks is mean and toughness. I know that, you know, Mo Wilkerson, he's a big, tough guy, but I'm talking about that anger and that passion and that drive. I think that him and IK is really nasty, hits you in the face. He'll smack you in the mouth. He's really a tough guy. Obviously, he has his problems. When he plays, the first thing I noticed on the tape, because I didn't watch the tape before this, but I actually watched two games before we went on the show, just to know a little bit more about him. And it really does look like he kind of just he plays standing straight up. Like, he doesn't even look like he's trying to bend. That he really has to fix that, because if he runs into a tackle and the NFL staying straight up, he's gonna get knocked on his ass, to be completely honest. He is raw, like you said. He lacks some pass rush moves. He would win with athleticism sometimes, and he plays with really bad leverage. He doesn't, you know, bend, like I said. But I do like the pick. He's not coming in to start. He's gonna be, you know, a second string outside linebacker, maybe behind Pace or Copels, or maybe even a third string, and a guy like IK is starting over him right now in situational pass rush. But he definitely has all the raw talent you want. He's a big guy. He's 260. I don't care that he ran a 4.8. He's still very athletic, and I think that he'll be, you know, I don't think he'll be a guy who's getting 10 sacks a year, but I think he'll be more of a Calvin Pace guy who can rush the passer and a guy who can stop the run, because at Louisville he really shut down the run sometimes. So I think this guy has a lot of potential, and it's really hard not to root for him. But, you know, we already talked about Bryce Petty, so we'll move on from the third round. We'll move past the fourth round. We really talked about that. Give me a quick thought on Jarvis Harrison, who took in the fifth round from Texas A&M.
Yeah, I know. We go back a few days ago, me and you were talking about Harrison. This is a guy who, you know, who is, if his worth ethic, you know, obviously it's huge, but if he gets that in check, and which I think he will, especially with this Jets team, you know, with a lot of veterans on that line, you know, like Mangold and like the Brickershaw Ferguson, you know, he goes into that room, and, you know, when he's in those meetings, he's gonna see how much they care about the game. This is their job. This is what, you know, what you're getting paid to do. So you better have a good worth ethic if you want to make something. You know, if you don't want to, you know, you want to be out of a job. So I mean, I think this guy, you know, if he gets his worth ethic, and, you know, this is a guy who could have been drafted in the second round. You know, that's how much talent he has. You know, you see everything how much talent he has. And I think, you know, going back to Maccagnan, he's really good at evaluating talent, so to say, you know, and especially the offensive defensive lines. So, I mean, I think this is a really, really nice pick, you know, a fifth-round pick. You're not expecting too much out of it, but I think it's a little different in this case because they know what kind of talent Jarvis Harrison has. he's the type of guy, you know, if Willie Colon struggles in camp, you know, which is not something I'm
very
not
likely
to be, you know, very
you know
likely
my feelings
to happen.
On Willie Colon,
yeah.
And he's sitting right next
you know,
to me every game. I'm out of the
yeah,
camp.
You know,
nope.
you know when you see a flag on the backfield, you know, odds are it's going to be number 66, Willie Colon with the hold. Or face mask, you know, or whatever he, you know, he's very. Yeah, so I mean, you know, this is
he
guy
holds every
think,
time. It seems like every single time the Jets get a huge player a 30-yard run, it would be a penalty flag holding Willie Colon. So you know how I feel about Willie Colon. He's not my favorite Jets player. You should have to me, you know.
Yeah, so I mean, Willie Colon, he's old. You know, he's getting old. Come off a major injury last year. So, I mean, Jarvis Harrison, I think it's a very nice pick. I think, you know, maybe I don't think they're expecting him to start, obviously, this year in the fifth-round pick. But this is a guy who's I really think he's going to, you know, turn some heads in camp. Look how big he is. I think he's like 6'5", 328, 330, something around those lines. He's a big, big, big dude, you know. He's a nasty
guy.
He's a
big boy.
He'll put you on your rear end, you know, if you come at him. So, I mean, that's something you want, you know, worth ethic. I think he's going to get – He's gonna have his motor going in camp, you know. Coaches are gonna be pounding that into him, and I think you better have a work ethic when you're going up against Mohamed Wilkerson, Leonard Williams, Damon Harrison in practice. So I mean, if you don't, he's not even gonna. If he doesn't have a work ethic this camp, he's gonna not even make the team, because if you're going up against those guys in camp, you know, you're not gonna if you don't want to play, you're not gonna have a job here with the Jets. So. I think this is a really nice pick, though, overall by McCagney, fifth round. You know, not much to lose here in the fifth round. So I think it's a very nice pick for the Jets.
Well, no, it definitely adds depth, and I don't think he's going to start either. But, you know, look at our fifth round pick from last year. It was Jeremiah George. I mean, I don't think he took a snap during the actual year. I think I've seen him in preseason. Maybe one time or so, Colts. That's honestly the only time I can remember seeing him on the field. So when you talk about a fifth round pick, who Todd McShay actually said that he's a second-round grade. When you look at that, I know he has the work ethic problem and all this stuff, and that might honestly, you know, be the thing that drops him to the fifth round. But if he can get that figured out, when you're looking at a guy who's 6'4", 330, who people call, is actually pretty funny when I saw this, but the dancing bear, you know, on the offensive line, you know, I would definitely like to have him really step up. And you talk about, you know, Mangold and Ferguson and even Willie Colon. I know he's not that good anymore, but we have some leaders on the offensive line. So hopefully, you know, he really steps up and becomes a good player, because people, you know, say that he's very technically sound. He's very quick for his size, and he could be a really, really good player. If he steps up and decides to really put his all into the game, but people have really big concerns with that because they think that he loves basketball. More than, you know, the NFL, but you know, you're in the NFL now, you're going to be getting paid millions of dollars, and you're just trying to care about basketball and really put your all into it, because if he ends up being, you know, he played left tackle sometimes, or I think for a good amount of games, he played left tackle for Texas A&M, and if he, you know, is a guard for this year and maybe even next year, and he comes in to be a left tackle for the Rickershaw Ferguson, he's going to make his money, and he's going to, you know, want to play hard, because when he's seeing, you know, $14 million a year, $13 million a year, if he really doesn't end up being as good as some scouts think he could be, if he put his all into it, then he'll be fine. And, you know, you look at that position, you look at, you know, Jarvis Harrison now, you look at a guy in Dakota Dozier who we didn't even see last year, who everybody was raving about. You look at Corey Brewer, who had 12 starts. Look at Hilliard, who had 12 starts. You look at Brian Winters, who actually might be getting moved to center, which is what I've been hearing. You look at Ibushi, you look at Colon, you look at Dalton Freeman, you look at Ben Ajulana. There's our offensive line has about 12 guys on it this year. So if he's not performing in training camp and he's showing up to meetings late, and I actually heard that he showed up to his own pro day late, which is just embarrassing in my opinion to show up to your own pro day late. So if he's not giving it his all, then he's going to get cut, because then we'll have 11 guys. Who, you know, they're not great, but there's definitely going to be great competition there. I think that one guy out of, you know, Brewer and Ibushi and, Malone and Dozier, one of those guys are going to step up to be right guard. Left tackle, obviously, right now is Ferguson, who is really declining right now, and he really had a tough year last year. But maybe that was, you know, having a rookie next to him, or having a guy who had his first couple starts next to him, and you have DeBrick at left tackle. You have Mangold at center. You have James Carpenter, who hopefully is solid next year. you know, at left guard, and then it's really the right guard spot that you really have to figure out. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see, you know, what he does exactly. But seventh round pick, Vinny, I don't expect either of us to really know a lot about the seventh round pick because it's a seventh round pick. So we'll talk obviously a little bit about him, and then after you talk about our seventh round pick, give me your impression of trading for, you know, first give me your impression for trading for Zach Stacy, and then we'll talk about taking the seventh round.
Yeah, you know, the seventh round pick, the big nose tackle from I believe Northwestern. I mean, Deion Simon, right? I believe his name is.
That's his name.
You know, he's a big boy. You know, big guy. I mean, but this, again, I know this is a position, obviously, Jets have a lot of depth at. So, I mean, not really necessarily see him making the team. He might be a big guy and nice body to have on the practice squad.
Exactly.
I believe he's well over, you know, 300, you know, whatever, 330 pounds. He's a big guy. So, I mean, yeah, obviously, I mean, not expecting really much out of him, but who knows? But I like the Zach Stacy pick, you know? The trade for him. Because, I mean, that's a guy who, you know, he's 24 years old. He rushed for 1,000 yards already in his career. He's a guy who, you know, comes from the Rams, you know, where they really had, when he was their lead back, they really relied on him. He came through a lot. So, I mean, I think it's the guy who's gonna compete fairly well. I mean, Stephen Ridley is there, you know, obviously Ivory and Power are there, but Zach Stacy, I think they're going to carry four running backs, and, you know, you don't know. You know, Ivory has history issues. Ridley, of course, you know, tore his ACL last year. I mean, you know, opportunity might arise for Zach Stacy. You know, he'll step up to the plate if given an opportunity. So I think they'll show him what he can do in training camp, and I think he'll make the team overall. But I think it was a nice pick. You know, really, you know, he traded a seventh round pick for him, I believe. I mean, there's really no, you really can't lose out of that. I mean, you know, that's a great deal because I believe that was the seventh round pick from the Bears, you know, so that's a really heck of a job there by McCagney. That's basically saying you drafted a 24-year-old who rushed for 1,000 yards in the seventh round, which is, you know, obviously unheard of. And I really like that. I like that trade for Zach Stacy. Again, more competition. So, I mean, it's really, really nice, really, really nice offseason so far for the Jets. No, it's something fans should be excited about. I know I'm excited. I know you're excited. You know, everyone, my dad said, you know, in the heck of baseball, even though the Mets are doing pretty well this year, we need football back, you know? So, I mean,
are you going to say your dad is excited? Is that what you're about to say?
I know. My dad is, you know, my dad's like,
wow.
It's,
I am surprised.
I know. It's very surprising stuff, you know? I mean, that's something I've never heard come out of his mouth as a Jet fan. I mean, it's something new, I would say. You know, Rex Ryan, you know what we got with him in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. You know, we got that fiery jittery. But, I mean, we have that this year, but there's a sense of, you know, that they're going to win and they you know, that they're going to do it the right way, if that makes sense. You know what I'm trying to say? You know, they really have they have a different feeling going on. You know, I'm happy that training camp is in Forum Park, I believe, this year. You know, we'll be there every opportunity we can. I think it's gonna be one of the biggest turnouts possibly. No, it's just insane. One of the most insane off seasons I can ever remember. You know, with the Jets bringing back Darrell Revis. You know, bringing back so many players, Camardi. It's just like, man, when is it ever gonna stop? And I think now it has after the draft. It's been one heck of a ride. You know, and it's just May. Now, but soon it's going to be camp, and then, you know, preseason's right around the corner.
Yeah, you know, first of all, I hit on the Deion Simon pick. You know, I think that's the only pick I wasn't a big fan of, just because I really felt like the Jets needed a free safety, and my guy Drummond was there from Michigan State, my guy Hackett was there from TCU, so I think they could have picked one of those guys. But, you know, it's a seventh-round pick, so if they decide to take this guy, they obviously see something in him, and I don't think he's going to make it on the roster, like you said. You know, I don't think he's not going to make it over Barnes. I don't think he's going to make it over Doosable, obviously. Doosable's a very solid backup player.
Yeah.
He's not going to make it over Vickerson, and he's not going to make it over Bowen, who has a lot of potential, but he's just not lived up to it. He's had some injuries. So I don't think he's going to make the team. You talk about Zach Stacy, you know, a fifth-round pick for Brandon Marshall. Zach Stacy is just ridiculous. I know you know, we have a whole bunch of running backs, but when you look at a guy who I believe he had like 973 yards his first year, and I know it was only 3.9 average, but then if you look at who the Rams had on their offensive line, you understand why he ran for only 3.9 yards. And obviously you want to speed back, but when you look at the guys in the seventh round compared to Zach Stacy, I know that he's almost a Ridley mold. He can catch the ball a little bit. He's more of a power runner, and that's why I honestly think that Bilal Powell is going to be on the team, because between Ivory, Ridley, and Stacy, they're basically the same running back. So I think a guy like Powell is really going to be here to catch those balls out of the backfield. I really think that he's going to finally be used at least a decent amount, because you look at Chris Johnson last year and Ivory, Powell was never on the field. I think Powell's really going to start to be on the field a lot more this year on third down. So that's definitely, you know, very interesting. And you talk about your dad actually being happy. It's actually really funny because, you know, you see your dad in every move the Jets make. He's just saying they suck and throwing his hands up and stuff. So it's actually really funny that your dad, is having a good time and actually likes the moves they've made. And hopefully they're good this year, Vin, because, you know, our first year we bought season tickets in 2012 with the whole Tebow thing. That was probably my worst year as a Jets fan. And then this year we buy season tickets again, and it's absolutely terrible. So maybe we actually get to see,
see
some
baby.
Wins.
Third time
about...
star, baby.
we'll see. But, you know, I definitely like the moves. We talked about the defensive line and the depth there. We talked about the offensive line. We have about, you know, 12 players deep there who can potentially be, decent contributors. You look at cornerback, and you mentioned Marcus Williams before. He's our number one cornerback this year. He's probably going to be our fifth or sixth corner this year, which is absolutely ridiculous. A guy in Darren Walls, who was starting alongside of him most of the games, might be cut because he's not good enough to make the team. So you look at all these positions. You look at Henderson, who had 112 tackles with Minnesota. They had some, you know, problems with DUIs and things like that. So there's so much competition, Vinny. I'm definitely really, really, excited to get the season tickets again. I'm excited to go to camp. I'm excited to see, I believe it's in July we get those roster cuts and I could trim it down to 53. So I'm really excited to, go to camp and see who performs and write some things about that. But it's definitely, it was a great show with you tonight. I'm definitely looking forward to, eventually doing this with you again, and hopefully you can call some more. I know you're busy in college and all that stuff. I definitely had a great show, and thanks for coming on with us tonight.
Yeah, man, it was fun. Anytime you ever guys need a guy to come on, I love the Jets. I mean, I love them whole life. Obviously, it's. Especially this year, like I said before, it's a new feeling I have. It's like a renewing of some sorts of a Jet fan. So, I mean, I'm really excited about this. Got finals week. It's about to be over in a week. And I'm really, summer's here. Football's, that means training camp means all the good stuff. Hard knocks is right around the corner. It's going to be fun, doing fantasy football, all that stuff around football. So, I mean, it's going to be really exciting. No, thanks. Jet Nation, obviously, it's a great site. Phil Sullivan has going here. It's really, really great insight. A new insight of Jet fans. So thanks for Connor Hughes. Obviously, guy came on, gave great insight. It's really awesome what Jet Nation does here. Thanks for all the listeners, obviously, and thanks for letting me come on the show tonight. I know I really enjoyed it. Obviously, anytime I get to talk to Jets, and get away from studying, it's always a plus. So I mean, thanks, Joe. Obviously, I'm a good friend here. It's been a very fun show. Enjoyed it, man. I can't wait to do it again whenever you guys need a guy.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely excited to hit training camp with you, to go up to Forum Park. It's only an hour away from us now. It's not 3 hours away. Like you said with Rex Ryan, I'm not going to take too many shots at Rex Ryan because I know. Brandon will eventually listen, and he'll be furious not being able to back up Rex Ryan. But when you look at Rex Ryan, you look at his timeouts that were mismanaged, you look at his poor in-game adjustments. He made no adjustments after halftime, and he gave us his 2 years. But the last two or three years of Rex Ryan was just extremely frustrating when you look at all the things he did. So I agree with you. It's a new feeling. You look at McCagden making best player available picks. You look at, Todd Bowles coming out and saying, I believe it was something a couple of weeks ago, Vinny, where he actually was like, I don't coach the media. I coach the players on the field, which is nice to hear. You hear him say Bryce Petty is not ready to start when or you don't hear him say, you know, Leonard Williams is going to be the next Ndamukong Suh, when last year Rex Ryan came out and compared Calvin Pryor. I forget who it was. I think it was Bob Sanders or somebody like that. So, you know, you have a no-nonsense coach who's not going to let, you know, Geno Smith or Calvin Pryor be late to meetings and stuff. So I definitely agree with you. With the whole new feeling, and it was definitely great to go into the draft having a scout make the picks for us, and we all like the picks. So I think it's the first time I've heard, you know, Jeff's Twitter actually, you know, almost 90% of them like it. You have a few of those trolls who I ran into the last couple of days who were just calling it a terrible draft, but I definitely like the draft. I'm really excited for the season, and obviously thank you to Connor Hughes. Thanks to all the listeners. Thanks to Zach for calling in. And we can't forget to, you know, thank Jerry behind the scenes for running the calls and
Jerry.
He runs the Twitter, you know, when we're on the air. So he's definitely a big part of this, and we'd like to thank him. And thanks everybody for listening, and we will be back next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock.
Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, right here on Jet Nation Radio.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.